A name that often pops up when we talk about serial killers is that of a mysterious person who was suspected of murdering nearly a dozen women. And even though we hear about unfortunate cases like these pretty often nowadays, with the surge of interest in true crime shows and stories, back when these happened, nobody wanted to talk about the victims. Especially if the victims were involved in the crime-ridden scene of East London. But there was something about these cases that made them different. They were even more twisted. Things that they thought humans were incapable of doing. Sure, murders and attacks were mentioned in that area of London on occasion. And though disturbing enough already, nothing prepared people for the gruesome descriptions of the murders I'm about to tell you about. You've heard the name. Jack the Ripper. My name is Edwin. Here is a dark memory. It was a great time to be alive in 1888 in England. It was the Victorian era, known for its level of sophistication and inventions. Life was improving for many, but definitely not for everyone. The sun hadn't even showed up yet. It was a cold morning, and as much as the mother hated doing this, she knew she had no other options. Getting every last oat from the jar she kept it in, she grabbed the last remaining pieces of coal to warm up something for her two young boys to eat, and hopefully add a little heat to the home itself. The children struggled to get out of bed, just like they did every morning. They got dressed in the dark, wearing the same clothes as the day before. They dragged their feet and still struggled to open their eyes as they sat on the tiny table by the window in the kitchen. The man from the shop across town was expecting a new shipment today, and he needed help with the crates, both carrying them and pulling them apart. So the help from the small hands at a cheap cost was perfect for him. They shouldn't be complaining. They were lucky to have a job. Children weren't going to be allowed to work for long. Their father had already been working all night, and soon the house would be empty. Everyone contributing to gather any amount of money to make ends meet. And with those thoughts in mind, she saw as her children went downstairs and disappeared into the fog of the soon-to-be-crowded city. But life was different for another family, and for another pair of siblings, a young boy and a girl who were woken up by an employee of the house they were living in. At this time, the sun was already out. They would sit down to a big breakfast and then get ready for school. Through the strict education system, they were bound to end up as respectable members of society there in London. They thought to themselves that in a few months, 3 or 4, they believed, they would be able to start their Christmas traditions. The trees, the cards, things that started back then and that we still carry even today. Life was going to get even better for them. But yes, for them. But nobody suspected of the things that had occurred that same night while they slept. First, let us go back further in order to understand the story of Polly Nichols as she was known, though her name was actually Mary Nichols. Mary had 5 children and lived with her husband. But things were not going great, and they were separated in 1880. Be it for the better of the children or not, all 5 of them were kept with a husband, and Mary ended up alone. Things were about to get worse for her. Soon, she would run out of money. And with that, she was forced to turn to prostitution in order to pay for food and a place to stay. Alcoholism was also a problem. That is what brings us back to 1888, when Mary found her way to the East End of London that very August. Life was tough for her. She would go from place to place, staying in the common lodging houses in that area, doing so instead of sleeping on the streets. But on that particular night, Mary was out of luck. The cost of staying a night was 4 pence, the worth of about 4 pennies back then. But when she checked her pockets, she found that she did not have enough. The people from the common lodging house could not let her in without payment, and she soon found herself being told to leave. She had something new that night, a bonnet, something that she said would attract customers even more. And with that, she laughed as she was being escorted out by the housekeeper. And then she told him, "I'll soon get my DOS money. See what a jolly bonnet I have now." And with that, she set off into the night. It was 2:30 a.m. by this time, on August 31st, as Mary was walking about when she met with her friend, a woman named Emily Holland, right outside a shop. Emily said that Mary was very drunk, and that Mary mentioned that she had made enough money to stay at the lodging for 3 nights in a row, but unfortunately she had already spent it. Emily, her friend, of course was concerned for Mary, and tried to get her to come home with her, but Mary said no. She refused, saying that she would find the money somehow. Mary stumbled away from Emily, heading toward Whitechapel Road. And that was the last time she was ever seen alive. Next to a gateway in Bucks Row, very close to Whitechapel Road, just a short distance from where she had met with Emily, her body was found. There was a cut on her throat so deep that it went all the way to the spine. Reporters said that her head had almost been severed completely from her body. Then, in the mortuary, the workers found something even more disturbing. A gash, a deep one, was discovered along her entire abdomen. Her organs had been taken out of her body. Had she accepted the help, or had 4 pence, she would have not been killed by Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper continues to be one of the most infamous killers in the world, and even though there are still ongoing investigations to this day, his identity has never been discovered. What we know about Jack the Ripper is based on heavy assumptions, including the name. Jack and the male pronouns used to describe the murderer are used because of the level of brutality of the murders. Still, we should not dismiss that it could have been a female killer. Nearly a dozen murders took place from August 7th to September 10th in 1888, and all of those had signs that it could have been Jack the Ripper. But at the time, police were only able to definitely connect 5 victims as having been killed by the same person. These 5 victims were found within a mile from each other, and they were inside or close to Whitechapel District in the East End of London. The women shared some similarities as well, having family or marital issues, and struggling with either money, alcoholism, or had turned to prostitution. But deaths around the area were not as uncommon as you would think. There was a high level of crime in the area, gang activity, and citizens that lived in other places avoided going to the East End of London for this very reason. But when that string of deaths started appearing, with victims being found with their kidneys removed along with the uterus and other organs missing, the public paid attention. Normally, they would not be talking about crimes coming from such a bad part of the city. But Jack the Ripper was different. He would kill the victims, and with the same knife, he would butcher them. Even the police started to believe that the killer had an extreme hate for women, all while suspecting that the killer must have had some sort of surgical or medical background due to the nature of the murders. Letters. Letters from the killer started arriving in the London Metropolitan Police Service, taunting the officers about his murders and about what was coming up next. That is how the name came to be, by the way. The letters were signed with that name, Jack the Ripper. But still, they were not able to find the killer's real name. So who was he? What was the reason behind the murders? Though the list is extensive, we'll start looking at some of the suspects, of these crimes. The police first started blaming the work of a gang that was in the area, but in September of 1888, that was ruled out. In fact, the list of suspects was large. Over 100 of them ended up on the list. But if we stop to think about it, there was a reasonable, much shorter list. That's the list that makes the most sense once we start looking at the facts. The strategy was to find somebody who had knowledge of medical procedures, since the killer appeared to know a lot about anatomy, but many disagreed. So instead, they also considered that the killer must have been a butcher or a worker in a slaughterhouse. The killer's skill with the knife was obviously something to consider. In seemingly desperate attempts due to the growing pressure and fear from the public, the police kept putting in time to solve the mystery of who was Jack the Ripper. They conducted almost 2,000 interviews and investigated nearly 300 people. They made 80 arrests. But there was never enough evidence to get anybody prosecuted. They did have their suspicions, however. Aaron Kosminski was one of the prime suspects, an immigrant from Poland, without an occupation listed in the records. The reasoning behind this was that he had been arrested before. Also because he showed signs of mental illness, things like delusion, he was incoherent, and seemed paranoid, among other things, like him being schizophrenic. Also, he had been declared insane and had stayed at multiple asylums. But recently, in 2012, people came up with something else. Another suspect. Someone who was thought to be innocent all these years. His name was Charles Cross, the man who found the body of Mary Nichols. Here are some of the things we know. He was a driver, and if he had found the body, then he must have been familiar with the area where the crimes were committed. In fact, there were other reasons that should have made him a prime suspect even back then. First, he gave the police a false name. Researchers believe his real name to be Charles Lechmere. Secondly, he lived in the area where all of these murders happened. His route to work took him along the streets where the murders occurred. And to top it all off, his job consisted of delivering something that should have raised flags even back then. He delivered meat. His clothes stained with blood after almost every shift. Mary Ann Nichols, Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, Catherine Eddowes, Mary Jane Kelly. The five definite victims killed by Jack the Ripper, according to the police, found with their organs ripped out of their bodies. Women, some dealing with strong challenges of life, taken and then ripped apart. Even after so many years, we can only hope that the friends and families of the victims found peace. Nobody knows the real identity of Jack the Ripper, and even though this debate still continues, there have been books and websites dedicated to the gruesome murders that this person left behind, and that people continue to investigate, finding new facts and missing links to the murders even today. As those people who had to be out in the night, waiting for the sun to rise again so that they could go home, struggling to earn enough to afford a place to stay or a bite to eat, for a while had to deal with the fear of a predator lurking in the streets, possibly sharpening a knife, looking for his next victim. Dark Memory is produced by me, Edwin Covarrubias, with research by Madeline Guerra. If there's a dark memory you'd like others to hear about, be sure to send me a message. You can find my details over on adarkmemory.com. Be sure to follow this podcast on your app in order to get notified of new episodes as they come out. Until next time, thank you very much for listening.